Welcome to One Decent Pastor, a weekly podcast of The Door located in Central Oregon, where three completely average guys join forces to make one decent pastor and to discuss, discover, and promote all things Bible.
We have a really big show today.
He did it.
Today in the May.
This is the May, yes.
That sounded like somebody else, not so much Ed Sullivan.
No, it's the best I got. I'm not known for my impersonations.
It sounded more like Mike Myers. Austin Powers.
There we go.
Have to get Dave Schaefer on here to do that one. He's the Austin Powers guy.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Oh, he's constantly talking like Mike Myers and Austin
really?
Powers. It's yeah, he Dave enjoys Schaefer. Doing it. Oh yeah, man, you got yeah.
Huh. I spend a considerable.
You've
amount
never
of time
heard him do
Dave,
the.
I've never heard that.
The baby
I've heard
thing.
Of yeah, baby.
Okay, he's done more than that, but okay. He does that one a lot.
Okay.
Well, yeah. I'm gonna have to bring that up with him.
Baby.
Whatever. I've never seen Austin Powers because I'm a pastor.
Right. So. Yeah.
I've never watched.
I'm not even sure what you're talking about.
But Dave likes it. So.
Okay. I'm the one that brought it up. Probably can't get away with it. I don't know what you're talking about.
You can at this point. And we're all high on exhaust anyway, so.
Yeah, the whole building smells like diesel fumes. So yeah. We should give you a warning right now that whatever we say today is going to be, could be a little off.
Yeah, if you see us all die on camera, like pass out.
Carbon monoxide.
Yeah.
Oh, look, I'm getting a call. Should I answer it?
No.
Oh. Wait, green or red?
Red. Stop.
See what it does to him, Glenn? Look at how tripped out he gets. Like,
dude, I thought he was going to answer the phone.
That's for sure.
Like it's the end of the world if you do something like
red
that.
It's odd for you to get a call. My phone rings once in a while during the podcast.
Let's have a podcast on
it's odd for you to get a call.
Press Brent's buttons or something.
Oh,
like
no. That's how you do it. That's just called life.
Right.
That's just normal everyday life.
A daily podcast.
Yeah. Welcome, Glenn.
Yeah. Welcome, Glenn.
Thank you. Nice to be back.
Yeah.
It's good to have you back.
Yeah.
Especially
back in light from of where, for those that might not know?
Oh, back from East Africa, back from, I don't know, a little sabbatical.
And you're headed to Africa again soon, right?
Yes. The end of the month.
Yeah.
May 22nd. Is that right?
Well, actually, that's the domestic. But then on the 29th is when I actually leave the country.
Cool.
Denver, Dallas, Doha.
Wow, Doha. Did you alliterate that
on
purpose?
Yeah, that's got a nice ring.
Three Ds.
Huh. Almost like Bears beats Battlestar Galactica. Thought, yeah.
Dallas does not have a nice ring.
No.
Yeah.
Well, and then Doha. Ultimately Mount Kilimanjaro.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You climb
going
mountain?
To the top?
No. Training. Training pastors. It's a fun place.
Pretty cool setting, I'm guessing.
It's wonderful. It's a lot. I like coming into Kilimanjaro a lot more than Dar es Salaam. Dar es Salaam is on the coast, and it's so different. But you've got a lot more Westerners that come into Mount Kilimanjaro because that's where they like hiking and that kind of thing.
Sightseeing.
It's more tourists,
What's the what's the weather going to be like over there this time? What the temps this time of the year?
It's the same, pretty much.
All year?
It's not rainy. So it's either dry or rainy, but the days are the same, day and night the same, because it's so close to the equator.
So what are we talking temperature wise?
70 or 100?
75 to 85.
Okay. Maybe, all right. That's not bad.
Maybe up to 90.
That's doable.
And then if you're on the shore of Lake Victoria, there's this beautiful breeze that comes off the lake. So it's really a nice
Which
place.
Is nice if it doesn't cool down at night.
And you'd like the food, too.
Sounds like David wants to go.
That's no, I don't. I'm not going anywhere, dude. That's why I'm asking questions, so I don't have to go.
Just a glimpse of interest there. I don't know.
No, David's adventurous that way, so.
Yeah. Hey, he ate 10 hot wings, and he got through all of them. So he's ready for anything at this point.
I took my wife to Spork yesterday, so I felt like that was pretty risky.
That's good.
Just because of the name.
What'd you get?
Some kind of short ribs, maybe. It was the only thing that seemed normal, but it had like these little crispy seaweeds and stuff that came with it. I was like, no,
dude, Dan.
He's like, it comes with kimchi, and I'm like, no, no, it doesn't.
Dan noodles. It might be Don Don noodles, but Dan noodles. They're good.
Jack noodles.
Yeah, Jack noodles.
Lieutenant Dan.
There, it's good. Haven't had it in a while.
I feel like a sissy because I ate at a place called Spork. I feel like a Bendite.
Well,
anyway, no, I'm not going to. You go to Africa, come back, give me the report.
You always get fresh chicken in Tanzania. They go out and
grab it. Fried chicken?
Any way you want it, they just grab it out in the backyard.
Battered, battered and fried. That's what he wants.
I don't know if they go to that extent.
But. Yeah.
I don't want to be that close to the killing of what I'm about to eat. No. Yeah, KFC.
That's awesome.
There you go.
They have KFC in Nairobi. Hmm. We've been to one.
Yeah.
Nice. Is it the same as American KFC?
Yeah.
I went to a KFC when I was in Cambodia years ago, and it wasn't the same.
Ooh.
Not even close. I mean, it was good, but it just was different.
Is it dog meat instead of chicken?
I don't know. It was spicy. Everything was spicy.
It was cat. He just didn't know.
It was feline.
Chicken, in quotation marks.
call it feline.
Yeah. The other white meat.
That's gross, Chad.
Yeah. Go, Chad. Take us away.
Take us away, Chad. Let's talk about our children.
That's a good segue into our topic today. So last week we...
in what way?
We're going to talk about cats today.
It's not a good segue at all. Okay. I'm just trying to redeem the moment as much as possible here.
So perfect segue.
It's a segue. It's a segue. Good or bad. It's a segue.
Yes.
Last week we pulled some things from a list that blogger Tim Challies wrote. Just kind of some advice for the Christian life. And there was 40 things on the list.
Yep.
We pulled, I think, 9 of them last week, and then this week Brent pulled the parenting ones and kind of grouped some of them together, so we're not necessarily going through the Challies list.
Which explains why Glenn's on here.
Yeah.
It's because he has 600 kids.
Because I'm a child.
Yeah.
No.
Well, you're a child and you're an expert your dad.
In the field.
Expert.
Raising children.
SME. SME.
Yeah. You've raised your children, and they're off all doing their own things. And...
Yes. Whether good or bad.
right.
Yes, they are.
Right. So anyway, I'm just going to read some statements, and we'll discuss as we go.
How many kids do you have, Glenn?
6.
How many boys?
1.
Okay.
1. 5 daughters.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the son is so sensitive. He really is.
So we have 6 kids, 5 kids, 4 kids, 3 kids.
Oh,
look at that. We should have sat in order.
Yeah.
10 grandchildren.
That's crazy. Wow. We're not talking about grandkids.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
No, I'm just kidding.
It's a contest.
You can boast on your grandkids.
I got 8. I'm next in line, but I can't beat you.
I got grandkids. 2-1 on the way. So. Yeah.
Soon to be. You got 1 and 1 on the way. So.
Yeah.
I'm counting the 1 on the way. Cause
okay. Well, then I have 3.
I have 2. So we've got some collective experience here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For veterans.
Yeah.
I can tell you a lot of what not to do is what you're going to get from me today, possibly.
Yeah, there's a lot of hours of parenting here.
Right.
Yeah.
I guess it's probably worth saying just from the start that parenting is a lot harder than I thought it was going to be. I had an arrogant attitude going into parenting, like I was going to do it right. I was going to do it different. Mm-hmm. And my kids, the way I did it was going to really... kind of guarantee this outcome, and I was just sorely mistaken and humbled by how difficult parenting is and how much I stunk at it at times. So
I think the expectations that I had of what I would accomplish in my parenting they all blew up,
right?
Almost all of them exploded,
and I kind of felt like at one point that parenting would stop.
Hasn't it?
It's actually gotten harder. So I used to think that, oh man, when you're in the trenches is when you're changing diapers and but the trenches are, things blow up when they're adults.
Yeah. Right. And they don't have to listen to you anymore.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah.
I still spank my kids.
How does that go?
doesn't go. Whatever, Dad.
How often do you see your kids?
Yeah. Well, we're going to talk about that, too. So. Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, should we dive into the list? So, statement number 1. Remember that your children are sinners who are beset by the fierce enemies of the world, the flesh and the devil. Be gentle with them and have pity for them. Don't be yet another enemy to them.
What did Bodie Bauckham call them? Demons in diapers.
Yeah, demons in diapers.
Something like that.
Yeah, he says they're little, so they won't kill you, and they're cute, so you won't kill them.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, God made it that way.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah, they're little sinners.
Yes.
Yeah, this thing happens where, you as a sinner marry another sinner, And then you procreate and you bring more sinners into the world. Those little sinners grow up to be big sinners who marry sinners and procreate, bring more sinners in. Like, it's a vicious cycle.
Mm-hmm. And it's deceptive when they're that young because you see the innocence there,
right,
too.
Right.
Like, you see kind of this purity and you're like, oh my gosh, this is. And so sometimes it's easy to not pay attention to or be in denial if it's your own kid about the ugly things that are there.
So. Yeah, that's the part that I would I was thinking about when I thought about this, is that you come to that understanding and realization that my kid is a desperate sinner in need of Christ and not, you know, this perfect individual because of my great parenting skills. Because I, you know, so whenever there was a problem, it's like, well, it must be something else. It can't be me and my parenting.
Right.
It can't be my kid. So it must be something outside of them that's creating this havoc that we're seeing. And coming to that realization at some point that now my kids are sinners and they're capable of doing the same things I'm capable of doing.
Yes.
And that was like a real hard pill to swallow for me.
Yes.
Right. Right.
Yeah. So you soon find out, and I'm seeing this again as I'm spending a lot of time with my young grandkids that are 2 and 3.
Ooh.
So we're talking the peak of demon, you know, season, the witching hour is what we're calling it in our house. Awesome. But, you find out that you don't have to teach them how to be bad or about themselves
They figure
completely self-consumed
pretty quickly.
You do have to teach them that which is foreign, which is how to be not about themselves,
right,
and how to be about others. And that's something that doesn't come native.
Sure. It tells us something about human nature.
Yes.
I think the older they get too, it seems like you can see the things that they caught rather than the things that we taught them.
I don't want to talk about this.
Come on, Glenn. Why do you got to go there?
Who invited you on? What are we doing? What's going on?
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, this is good.
I'm living it. And I think the older we get, the more there's a tendency for maybe some regret.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, I think totally. We talked about this a little bit.
We saw it. I see it in my own parents. I remember saying very clearly, I will never do those things that I saw my parents do. I'll never do that. I'll never be like that. And it's there.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it there? And it's because it's caught very often and not taught. And my kids have, like, some of the things I see in my kids that I you know, may not like, it's very easy to see where it came from their mom. Not really.
No, that's right.
No, from me. And it's like, oh, you struggle in this area. That's what I struggle in. And that's why it's there. And it's. But I think one of the cool things about like understanding that your kids are sinners, the important things, I shouldn't say cool things, is it brings the gospel to bear in this way that is necessary.
Yep.
So, you know, your kids have to go through the same process that everybody goes through of understanding their need for Christ.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so it's part of the process that parents have to go through, and it's probably better to be prepared for it and not in denial that it's going to happen. It's part of the process of coming to Christ.
That's what I love that he adds the last part to that is be gentle with them. Have pity for them. Don't be yet another enemy to them.
Right.
And that's the gospel component to it, is that they need to hear about something that is a solution to the problem,
right,
rather than just hear that they're a constant problem. Yeah, you're a problem, but there's a remedy, right?
Yeah,
right.
Well, you don't measure up. You're not obeying properly. You're not being a good kid. You're not all of these things are pointing us towards Jesus.
Yep.
You know, he's the same answer I need. He's the answer they need.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep, yep.
Yeah, I like the encouragement to be gentle, because someone some years ago said to me, you spot it, you got it. So when I see something.
I remember you dealt it, you know. You
know. No, that's not the same thing,
right? You smelt it. Yeah, keep going.
Right.
You denied it, supplied it.
Right. Never heard that one. That's funny.
Yeah.
I got a headache right now.
Sorry.
I'm going to fall over.
No, it's diesel fumes. Yeah. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Anyway,
you were talking about something important.
Yeah, you were saying something.
No. I mean, it's like when I see something in somebody else, especially my children, I'm trying to evaluate, how did they pick this up? Is this something that they're getting mutually exclusive from our family, or is it something that we, you know, they caught?
Yeah. So if this is my fault, or can I blame it on someone else?
Right. It helps my prayer life, I think, at that point, you know, just trying to pray and be sympathetic, even empathetic, if I can say that. Yeah.
So the regret part, you mentioned that. I have that a lot of things. It's also dangerous for us to just sit regretting things that we can't go back and change. So, like, I just thought for a second we should, like, maybe address how do we take care of that regret, or what's the answer, or what do we do now in light of regret?
Well, I go back to my kids and say to them, you know what? I was really hard on you, you know?
Yeah.
And I didn't, when I disciplined you, I didn't restore you like I needed to. So
confession, maybe.
Confession. Yeah. And I confessed a lot to my kids when we were in our home and, you know, growing up, you know, the kids. But now it's like, oh, man, when I use that form of discipline on you, it was not good. And there were times when I spanked you out of anger.
Yeah.
And I was doing the best I could at the time. You know, we went to all of the seminars, you know.
Yeah. And stinking Bill Gothard.
Right.
And the Ezos.
Oh, man. Yeah. And I did that the best we knew how. But
there was that time I used a boat oar, and I'm sorry, yeah. With nails in it.
I remember Focus on the Family. Can't think of the guy's name. Focus on the Family guy. Talked about doing this Vulcan grip thing on their neck. Like, you can grab this little area that you can pinch up here.
Yeah.
And I thought, what a great idea.
And it will paralyze them for life.
My kids still.
More ways than one.
My kids still are angry about that. It hurt them, and it was mean. And it wasn't like, and it was, again, there was this reactionary thing where I could just reach out, grab them real quick, and get them to stop what they were doing, which made me happy and, you know, wasn't good.
So I think there's all this debris that kind of builds up throughout the parenting process, and then all of a sudden you look back and you can see it. Oh, man.
Yeah.
And it seems overwhelming. How do I cut through all that?
Yeah.
But there's a benefit in clearing the debris with our kids.
Yeah.
And I think then if there's those things that come and hit you sideways, sometimes you just have to let it go. You know, you do everything you can do, and then you let go of the rest.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the cool thing that I've seen, even though I messed up over and over and over again, it left a lot of, you know, different, I don't know, sometimes it's like, you know, little
impressions.
Well, impressed. I was thinking, you know, there's like, okay, there's a divot there, and that's more like, you know, a little pothole over there, and that's a chasm that I created from just all these deficits that I left, and yet God's grace has a way of just leveling, you know, filling all those things in. And it's sufficient for me. It's sufficient for my kids. It's, you know, and that's the good news.
It is interesting because I think the compassion actually has to start in us, from God our Father to us.
Yeah.
And if we don't get that, that's the first step to being able to share that compassion with our kids.
Yeah.
But I was all so hard-nosed when I was, you know, younger and a young dad. And now it's like, oh, man. I'm not even sure if I was really in touch with the love of God back then. I was just kind of going through one thing after another. And now I'm starting to feel that compassion, and now I can share something that I have.
Right.
Yeah. And then we kind of get a bit of a do-over as grandparents.
Yeah.
Not a total do-over, but
it's fun.
A little bit of maybe redemption.
Very All different. The bad stuff comes back.
Very different dynamic.
Yeah.
I'm building a catalog of new regrets.
Yeah. I'm a better grandpa than I was a dad, I would say, at this point. But it's also limited periods of time, usually. Sure. Yeah. David's got them all the time right now.
Hopefully that changes soon.
It's not easy. It's tough.
Well, at this rate, we're going to get through two questions.
So. Yeah. We're going to pick up our pace here. Okay, number two.
That's fine.
Number two. Find a couple whose grown children you'd be proud to call your own. Ask that couple if you can spend some time with them. Either ask them questions about parenting or to simply observe life in their home. This may prove more valuable than any book on parenting. Make sure their children are old enough that the parents have proven they can do more than raise obedient toddlers or submissive tweens.
Mm. Oh, so it's supposed to say tweens. Mm.
Tweens.
Yeah. Like teens. Oh,
in between. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah.
Tweenies.
One of the cool things I think about the church, like the Bible tells, you know, the older men and older women to pour into the younger men and younger women, and this is just a great way to do it, right?
Yes.
This is another reason why segregating churches by age groups and common interests isn't always the best. I get why it's good. Mm-hmm. It's not always the best thing to do, because I remember we had, you know, a young family. We gathered together with other young families who didn't have a clue what to do. Mm-hmm. And we sat around and talked about how we knew nothing about parenting. You know, it was pretty helpful times. Or you could maybe get together with, like what he's saying, some people that have been there and done that and survived, you know, and talk to them about it. And
yeah.
there's wisdom in that, yeah. obviously.
I mean, this is kind of just life 101, right? We talk about this all the time. It's parenting, it's marriage that's successful, it's someone who does their job well or is a good employee. Yep. You find winners, you find people that are doing it well, if you want to do those things well. And you tuck in, you know what I mean? Yeah. You follow them, you get in their shadow, you know, and that's all this is. I mean, this is wisdom.
Yeah, and praise God the church is this way. I mean, it's his family where you can actually have people like that in your life.
That's why
the
multi-generational component like you're talking about, integration in that multi-generational assembly matters.
Yeah.
And I agree. That's we've gone so far that we've screwed up the whole segregating. Like we're doing more damage than good by doing the segregation. Not that there's not a time and place.
The younger generation that are in the throes of parenting and in the trenches, they need to have people that are going to be really vulnerable and authentic to them, and not just give them Christian cliches. You know, they need to know that the people that have gone through it and are going through it, you know, even though they might have raised their kids and their kids are gone, they're still being vulnerable and they're still learning, and it's just not this pie in the sky kind of Christian cliche type of conversation.
Well, there's an encouragement here, not only for younger families to find people who have raised their kids successfully, but also for the people who have raised their kids successfully to intentionally look to the younger families to not to like totally insert yourself where you're not wanted, but to look for those opportunities, where you can, invest in, somebody who is in the throes of bringing up their kids right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a war. It's really a war now. It's a lot worse now for them than it was when we were raising our kids.
Yeah. What parents are dealing with now, as far as just the social media aspect, the phones, all that kind of stuff. I mean, just what's available at any moment, and it's crazy what you have to deal with now that we didn't have to. And it's hard to be a kid right now, too. I mean, there's so many complications or variables now that makes it very difficult. Yeah. Is the next question the one about different parenting styles? It doesn't matter. I was just curious.
Yeah.
Yes.
Maybe jump into that question because I think...
Can I add real quick?
Yeah.
That's successful here, I think it's helpful to note that it doesn't mean that someone's raised all their kids, however many that is, and they're all like strong believers. Like it's even people that have gone through hard things with their kids, but have endured it well and gone through it as good as they can.
That's good.
Leaning on the Lord more. So it's like success can look like different things, right? Okay.
Well, I think someone that's kind of made it to the other side, so to speak, has something to offer, whether the road's been bumpy or smooth, right?
Because a lot of it's what I wouldn't do again. A lot of it's regrets, you know what I mean?
Well, that's why I was thinking of the next question, because I think there's a distrust sometimes with younger families right now looking at what we did. Anyway, maybe read that and then we can talk about that.
Yeah. So it says, don't put your hope in a particular method or system of parenting. Put your hope in the gospel. Then consistently teach it to your children and consistently model it for your children during the 18 or 20 years that they're in your home. It's the gospel that is the power of God, not only method, but we are easily confused.
Yeah. Yeah, I was just struck by that idea that, the way we did it was different maybe than the way our parents did it, and the way our kids are doing it is different than the way we did it. And you can dig in pretty hard and say there's one way to do this,
right?
And I know that I was overly, how do I put it, just overly harsh. I overparented in many ways. I tried to win every battle. There was times when I just wouldn't let things go, and now I see not just so much with my kids. I'm not thinking of anybody specific, but younger generations that were raised in that thing where now they're going to almost underparent. They're not going to make that mistake. So now they've swung the other way.
And slinging is,
And it creates this weird thing in your family when you've got that going on. And that's why I like the idea of grabbing somebody that's outside of that situation that's successful in parenting, like going back to the previous question. Yeah. Find somebody else that's done this well and listen to what they have to say, because you're not listening to what I have to say half the time. Mm. So.
Because the journey, the journey that Stacey and I were on was, at first it was behaviors. Like, just don't embarrass us at church.
Right.
And the grip, pinching underneath
I had my little sign language thing from across the room. You do the stop thing in sign language. My kids, if I do it today, I did it to Zane the other day. He was doing something. I reached over and he went, gosh, talking about PTSD, Dad. Thanks a lot.
That's funny.
But I think there's two different types of parenting styles or programs out there. One you know, would be behavioral modification, and then the other one is more character development and getting to the heart.
Yeah.
And always find that the heart change was the best.
Yeah, well, sure. Amen.
And they both have their place. Because I think the mistake is that we veer towards one or the other. Like, we go to one extreme of just behavior modification. It's all about how you look, mm-hmm. and that's all that matters.
Yeah.
Or it's all about your heart, which is actually deceitful. So and of course, we need to insert the gospel into it. But it's both, because I also do want my kids to be a blessing and to learn to be a blessing mm-hmm. towards others. That comes through their behavior and how they behave when they're around others. So you don't want to just jettison, like, both of these things, but you do want a balance. Where I was heavy on behavior, just look good. Yeah. Like, everything else will come up. Like, just make sure you're looking good. So I was strong there and light or soft on gospel. And I wouldn't mind bringing that one up. But
yeah, me too.
But you also don't just want to leave things up to their heart too and assume that they're going to catch those things on their own, because I have found that they don't, going back to the first one.
Right.
they're little sinners that are good about being about themselves.
So can I ask a question? When we say, you know, preach the gospel to ourselves, what is that ongoing effect that the gospel has on our heart? You know, I mean, the gospel isn't just a one-time proclamation of of the death, burial, resurrection, and ascension of Christ. It's got to have a continual effect on our hearts. So what does that do? When we say the gospel, raise our kids with the gospel, if they already know the Lord, then where are we going with that?
I think it's more the why, like when I say it, like there would always be like, you did this wrong, so here's the punishment. And there wasn't the why of why this is wrong or why it matters, and there wasn't the upside for me personally.
Yeah.
Explaining the upside of why this matters and why we don't do things this way, there was just a lot of, oh, you screwed up, you crossed the line, here's your punishment. So there wasn't a lot of dialogue on my end about the good news of the gospel, restoration, repentance, love for others. Like, so it's all the gospel things that you could be talking about that a lot of times you're just too tired to talk about.
So it wasn't fear, it wasn't guilt. We weren't trying to motivate by fear or guilt.
That's how I mostly parented.
Okay.
So it was non-gospel.
So the gospel is motivating, in the parenting field, the gospel is motivating by the grace of God.
Yeah, I think when your child, or even when we understand that we have a God who loves us, who's patient with us, who's accepting of us, who wants the best for us, who's able to, like, you know, continue to not give up on us and things like that.
Yeah.
Knowing, and then rather than it being this performance thing, like, I have to do this to please God, or I have to do this to make him happier, or I have to do this to make mama and dad happy, or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Now we're actually responding to a God who loves us, and it's more of a worship kind of a thing than a duty thing.
Yeah.
So duty versus delight, you know, kind of thing. And that, and so I think that's when your kids begin to understand their identity in Christ and you know, that they're beloved in him and they're beloved by me and, you know, mom and all this kind of stuff too, that they're secure. Mm-hmm. And then it's not about behavior modification, because that's what I did too. I did the same thing, tried to make them just look good. Didn't matter what was really going on inside of them, just look good. It just changes a lot of things. Mm-hmm. And finding that, you know, getting to the heart of the behavior, what's really going on? Why is this happening? I was just trying to stop what was happening. I was never trying to understand where it was coming from or what, you know, what was really going on. And I think you can go way too far with this kind of stuff. Yeah. I mean, this is what, you know, therapy culture right now does this.
Yes.
But again, there's a book called Shepherding a Child's Heart that was written by Ted Tripp.
Right.
That kind of blew my mind when I read that. I wish I would have read it earlier. And I think his brother's written a similar book.
But, Getting to the Heart of Parenting.
Yeah.
Paul David Tripp, That's a good
one. It was extremely good to just think, okay, why is this happening and what's going on and how do I instill the gospel? It really focused on that and gave you some practical helps.
And it gives parents a confidence because they know what the plan is, like, in a sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Generally speaking, I mean, it can go either way, but if we have more confidence in what we're training in our parenting, we can.
Yeah.
But it's just, it's like every day it's a battle kind of thing and we're just reacting, you know, to our kids.
Totally.
That's not good. We had have our second daughter who met a guy, and she was going to leave the house. She was not quite 18, and she was doing stuff, and we just were like asking people to pray for us. Like, all over the world, people are praying for our second daughter, and my son wanted, just said, let's just chain her up, Dad. Let's just chain her up.
In the dungeon.
That's like the ultimate behavioral modification. Sure, sure. Just chain her up. But what Stacy and I did is
that frowned upon?
All Christians have dungeons, right? And chains.
But we just kept on treating her well, you know? And one time I said to her, I'm proud of you. I mean, she was in the midst of doing all this. Today I would say I'm delighted in you, not proud of you, but
yeah, I get you.
I would do it that way. But then one time we were all going out to dinner, and all the kids and Stacy, you know, got out of the van and they went into Outback, and Amber and I just had a little time to talk, and she said, "Daddy, why are you being so nice to me when I'm being so bad?" And it just kind of got to her heart, and it just melted her heart.
Yeah,
and there was something that broke at that point, you know, in not in a good, not in a bad way. It was an oppression or whatever that was there that just broke, and she was good. After
I think
that.
Our kids always know when we're disappointed in them. they get that sure. clearly, yeah. But when they see this love, the kind of the love that God has for us, that's not dependent on what we do.
Yeah.
It's just this love we continue to pour out. It has an impact. That's
and that's not always a formula either, though. Like so yes, yeah. I think it's a gospel response and a gospel way to parent that we should parent.
It was
but we have to be careful of expectations there too,
sure. right,
and
right.
how long it takes for that kid to notice the goodness and what that was. It doesn't happen.
No,
like
every
this.
Every yes. kid's different. That verse says train up a child in the way they should go. You know, we don't think about that, but it's like they're all different. I have five kids. Every one of them is different. One kid you put in their room, they're delighted. They're having the best time of their life because they're an introvert, and you just gave different. Them a reward.
Yeah.
You put another kid in their room, and that's like chaining them to the furnace or whatever. Yeah. I don't know. That's the worst punishment they could have because they're isolated.
Yeah.
So you got to figure that out. It's going to be, you know, there isn't a one cookie cutter way to do things.
Yeah. Right. Well, if you look at the way that God disciplines those that he loves, his discipline is it's not punitive, it's restorative.
Right.
And if we just let that
that's a good point.
Inform, you know, our parenting. Like I think a lot of my discipline was punitive and not
for sure
restorative, right?
For sure.
But God is is restorative towards me, right? And we would do well to remember that.
Right. But in the midst of that restorative, like God does things a lot of different ways.
Sure.
There's a woodshed that exists. There's a dungeon that exists for the child of God too. You know what
Absolutely.
I mean? For our good on our way there.
Right.
You know, we're going to get to one of the last ones that's about because we care.
I don't know if we're going to get to the last one.
We're absolutely not.
Because we care about our kids, like we also do need to protect them too. Like there's concerns. It's okay to be concerned when you have an underage daughter that's,
right.
going in a direction like it's okay. Like part of the way you love them and working towards something good for them is with that concern as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So it's like it's heavily nuanced.
Are kids going to watch this? Are our kids going to watch this?
They ain't going to listen to it if they do.
I have one that regularly tunes in.
Okay.
So maybe two.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll see the topic and listen. But you know that the weird thing, and this is kind of the ironic part, is I grew up in a system that was religion. And not relationship. And I despise that. When I figured out the difference, it kind of made me mad. And I felt like I'd been sold a bill of goods. And then I did the exact same thing with my parenting. I literally went religion versus relationship. And this is the part that I wish I could fix because I've got some of my kids that still just view it that way. This is just this hard, cold religion about do, try, you know. Mm. And they gave up on that and never had that relationship piece. And I wish that's what I wish I could go back and
oh man,
you know, try to affect.
We had a laminated thing on our refrigerator called the 21 rules of this house.
That's rad.
All right.
21. Dang.
21
That's
rules.
That's a good list.
That's all?
And the author of that has basically chucked deconstructed completely now.
Mm.
Because based upon their relationship with God was all based upon performance, it was all based upon rules.
Yeah.
And it's like forget this, you know.
Well,
and rules are good.
That's what I was gonna say. What Dave was saying is rules are good. Like one of the rules that I don't regret was that you will never talk to my wife in a disrespectful way.
Right.
My kids remember that and they value that today. They've taken that into their relationships now, and it's like that's a really good thing to. It's a great rule.
Right.
You know, there's a lot of good rules. Lying was one of those things that I just being dishonest to me was that one always broke my heart more than other things because again it was just.
Well, it's a part of training up a kid in the way she goes. It looks like rules or whatever label you want to put it. If it's only rules.
Solely,
and there's no gospel relationship.
Yeah. Exactly.
That's a problem.
That's what
but rules are good.
And
again, we can, this is where we can easily get go to an swing
totally.
To an extreme yeah. that it's like, no, it's not that, and no, it's not that, but yes, it's this, yeah, and yes, it's both this. And.
There was a family yeah. that we went to church with that they were you would call them legalistic in the way that they parented, mm-hmm. but the relationship piece, the gospel piece, was so much mm-hmm. present in that family yeah. that it was beautiful the way it worked yep. out. Whereas I didn't have the gospel piece, right. I just had the rule piece,
totally.
And that's why it didn't work. But when you've totally. Got when those two come together, yes. The chocolate and the peanut butter, so to speak,
right.
You get something really good. Because kids need rules, they need discipline, they need boundaries.
Right.
And when they don't have those,
we need those as adults too.
Yep.
Well, we absolutely do. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
The next one we've kind of already touched upon, but I'm going to read it anyway, just because it's on the list. Spend lots of time considering how God relates to His children, and then imitate that in your parenting. When asked who most influenced your parenting, God is a pretty good answer.
So that's not a bad way either to bring the gospel component, like to do gospel parenting, is to constantly turn our eyes and their eyes to Christ through the good times, the bad times, whatever it is they're struggling with or falling short in. It's neat. It's pretty neat to look at Jesus or to look at God yeah. the Father and the way that He has imparted good things to us mm-hmm. as a father for just understanding. And so I think that's one of the ways that we can also effectively insert gospel in our parenting.
We yeah. got our parenting style from our parents, from the way we were parented. And that's inescapable. I mean, we don't want to dwell on it too right. long, but, and I shared this at Men's Third Thursday, that my dad was no abuse in our family that I can tell. There really wasn't. Or else I was shielded from it. But I would say my dad faithfully provided for us. And, he worked hard, and my mom worked hard, too. But I don't ever remember my dad coming into my room and having a conversation with me.
Mm. Yeah.
And just a little bit, about a week after my dad passed away, my brother and I were looking outside the garage, and there were these two fishing poles over on the side in the corner of the garage, and they had cobwebs on them. I used to put my baseball bats there, and finally, my brother, that week after my dad had passed, looked over there during our conversation and said, I bought those two poles for my dad to take me fishing, and he never did. So because it was abandonment, it wasn't abuse, but I think that is so common. And how do we then parent when our dad or mom were disconnected that way? We're going to bring that into our own parenting yeah. style. So that's why I say I think the gospel, it's like needs to be applied to us like
sure, totally.
Every
yeah.
day,
yeah.
especially when we're parenting our kids
right.
and grandkids. So I had to tell the story because I think the way we have observed our parents parenting us
yeah.
is oftentimes the way we're going to parent our kids. Right. And that's kind of scary for me.
Yeah.
yeah.
So that with God, that there's relationship that goes on between Him and us, the Father and us, that extends beyond just when we need correcting yeah. or just when we need, to have a, time out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like there's more relationship there. We can also look at what that looks like and apply it. So this is a relational component
yeah.
that we right. can look to.
It's good stuff that we need to do intentionally
yeah.
with our kids.
Because like you said, it can be all, especially for a working dad, with young kids, like it can be all corrective. I remember coming home from long days of work, exhausted,
sure.
dirty, sweaty, disgusting, tired, bad mood. And then I would get like, okay, Cody gets two spanks for this. Gage gets four spanks for that. Because one of the things was that she wasn't allowed to do the disciplining. Like, that was my deal.
Okay.
And so I'd come home disciplined and then just go crash. They'd go to bed and I'd yeah. go take yeah. a shower and crash. And that's how it went for a long time.
Here comes dad. Let's get right? on it.
Like,
wait till your dad gets home. Yeah.
The sum total of our relationship was that for years. That's one of the regrets. And God's relationship towards us more than that. And our relationship yeah. with our kids needs to be more than that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so good. Anyway.
Oh, man.
We need to find time and make time for better things than corrective things only.
Yeah.
Wish I would have.
All right, next one.
Wow.
It's good and necessary to shelter your children from the world. It's also good and necessary to expose your children to the world while they are still under your care, and you can help them interpret what they are seeing and experiencing. Do that with wisdom. Your task as a parent is to prepare your children to live and thrive in the world, not some other one.
And in the world, in but not world. Of the world yeah. balance.
Right.
Not some other one?
Not some other world. Yeah, that's what it says. Not some other world. To live in this world, not some other world.
I don't know if I agree with that, but
yeah.
I think we do prepare them for the world that's to come.
Well, maybe say not to live in an idealized world, okay, but to live in the world as it is.
Come on, Charlie, be specific. Yeah. Jeez, this guy. No, I'm
just kidding. Well, we would watch videos, and the kids would knew what was coming oftentimes, but it got to a really good part, and maybe it was something that we needed to talk about. Hmm. And I would just press pause and say, okay, let's talk about this. You know, and it was usually at the best part of the movie, yeah, you know. But yeah, it was one of those things where I wanted to say, now, is this the, you know, what is happening here in this scene, in this movie? But it's kind of, I was trying to inoculate them to the world, you know, as we were growing up. Yeah.
Well, you have to see the world, and everyone's going to have an interpretation for what they see.
Sure. Exactly.
So the difference is that we help build a biblical worldview or interpretation, rather than let the world determine its own interpretation on, mm-hmm, our kids. I, mm-hmm, think that's the difference, right? Is so we don't want to shelter and not talk about anything, because, mm-hmm, it's a matter of time before they go out and see it, find it, hear it, smell it, whatever, experience it. Yeah. But we want to build proper interpretations and understandings of what they're going to face, see,
right, exactly,
experience. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there's a wisdom in that balance. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. One of the great regrets I have is that we kind of framed it like we're the goodies and, yeah, everybody out there are the baddies.
It's true.
And so it was this us versus them thing.
It's true.
And when they did finally kind of go out into the world, it was like, well, some of these people are nicer than some of the people in, yeah, the church. And some of these people are more thoughtful and kind and courteous and all, mm, this kind of stuff. And so it was very confusing.
Yes.
You lied to me.
The truth is that we're the baddies, and they're the baddies, and Christ is the one that we all need.
Yep.
Yeah. And we totally missed the mark on that one. So through our homeschooling, you know, again, we tried to shelter them and protect them by keeping them at home.
Yes.
You know, we can't let you into that, you know, horrible world. There came that point when we did bring them into the school, and it provided this, like, I remember the teacher, our daughters went, and they said, this is like a breath of fresh air that just came through the school with these guys here. Mm. It was so neat, like Christians in the world having an impact in some way. Now, again, you still have to be mindful of what they're dealing with and you know, who they're, you know, it didn't all work out perfectly, obviously, but it was kind of neat to see, there's a point where we do have to engage and get people involved and, you know.
And there's some things that are happening in the world that I would really struggle even sharing it with my kids because it's so bad.
Yeah.
But if we can at least give them a little bit of a sense of what's going on out there,
right,
to get that conversation started, I think that's healthy.
Well, yeah, there's things in the Bible that was like, I don't want to share this with my kids. I don't want them to read this. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like and so we know that the answer isn't that we completely cut them off, right, or hide what the reality is out there. Because, mm-hmm, even our Bible has some stuff. It is that we properly discuss these things and we dialogue. I used to love, one of the things I have fond memories of were our long car trips with our kids.
Oh, yeah.
Where we would get into some really cool conversations of things that could be sketchy.
Yeah.
But they ended up being like really significant, meaningful conversations that were necessary about things that, you know, most people might hide their kids from.
Yeah.
You know,
it used to be that when kids went to college, that's when they went off the deep end.
Yeah.
Now the world is beginning to encroach on family life earlier and earlier.
Now it's kindergarten.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. It's coming to you.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, I think, again, one of the things I wish I would have known to do is teach the big story of the Bible to my kids, mm-hmm, that there's this meta-narrative of God created everything good, we broke it, and now, you know, he's on this rescue mission to redeem and reconcile all things to himself. And so the whole world is broken, including us, you know, and we didn't get that message across. It's like, you know.
I need what you need.
Yeah,
that's what we should be telling our kids.
They need what you need. We need what they. You know, it's all the same. It's the same.
Yeah, the playing field's level
everywhere.
Yeah. What's the difference maker? Yeah.
And so you will see people in the church that are going to disappoint you. You will see. I'm going to disappoint you. You know,
you will see mean people in the church.
Yeah,
yes,
you will. And you'll see nice people outside of the church, and they both need the same thing.
Yep.
So
we better save the rest of these for another, not next week, but for another week.
Yeah,
because there's still three.
Yeah, there's
good
three left. So we could
actually
cut
there's
now.
Even there's another list of 40 that has more parenting ones in it too. So we might have more than three. But
well, I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Yeah, well, we can cut it off now and save the rest for later.
Yeah,
do parenting 2.0.
Yeah, I think we've done parenting classes in the past at the church, and you and your wife helped lead one of them. And I think it's something we have to have just kind of an ongoing thing because, you know, we have a lot more young families coming right now, mm-hmm, who would benefit from it. And it's definitely a team approach to parenting with the church involved is a pretty cool thing to have. So
Good.
Yeah.
If you're struggling out there, yeah, keep on keeping on, and let it be known that, you know, you don't have all this figured out, and get the help you need.
Well, last week, you know, the reward is last week one of our grandsons is out in the front, and you know, like they've got their friends there, and they're kind of all over the place. You guys were in La Pointe, but then the one guy just put his arms up like this. It's like, get my camera out. You know, I want to take a picture of this. Those are the rewards that we have on the other side of all this.
I saw that. That was neat.
Yeah.
Cool.
What I have a final question for you, Glenn. How would you, just because I know you and Stacy do this, like what would your encouragement be to, you know, people that are on the kind of the backside of parenting kids in the home, to like kind of how to seek out
on the backside? What does
who,
that
who
mean?
Have raised their kids? I guess that's what I mean. You know, who have raised their kids and the kids are
actually
out
we're all on the backside.
right. But just because I've seen you and Stacy do this, like how do you? What encouragement would you give to people kind of in your stage of life that would want to maybe find a younger couple to invest in and pour into?
Shepherding hearts. You know, it's not about the Christian cliches. It's about shepherding people's hearts, about caring for other parents who are in the battle, you know, being vulnerable with them, let them know the struggles, you know, that we've had, you know, in our parenting, and the struggles that we can have as we parent our young. I think it's an expectation. I think a lot of times younger parents think they can, they're going to reach a certain point and then they're going to be over it, you know, or maybe it's going to get better. It's always going to be a struggle. Maybe that's not as encouraging as people would want to hear.
But it's real.
But it's real. So kind of manage the expectations of parenting, and, you know, it's all, just keep praying, keep asking the Lord for help, and sharing struggles with each other, and not being isolated in the process. So when things go bad, don't isolate.
Yeah.
You know.
Cool.
The only other thing I would say just popped in my head, because it is, I don't want to leave people in despair. It is hard, and it doesn't end when they leave the home. You know,
right.
The more things continue. Praise God they didn't all fall off the deep end at once. You know, they took turns, which was nice. It was kind of God to let that happen.
They waited in line.
But the thing that I probably underestimated the most is prayer. We would get to our wits' end and wouldn't know what else to do or else to turn, and then it would be that reminder again of like, hey, maybe we should get on our knees and pray for, and it was always amazing to see how God worked when we just relied on Him in the way that we're supposed to.
Well, and I would say how it works in us primarily.
Yeah, both.
Right.
Yeah. No, it changed us, and it changed the circumstances
too. Because
I've had
broken heart prayers going on for years that haven't been answered. So it's not, again, it's not a formula. It's not a magic formula that, oh, prayer works and fixes things. No, it fixes us. It helps us to be where we should be with God.
Totally.
Yeah. First and foremost.
Yeah. That's a good one to end on right there. All right. Glenn, you want to pray for us?
Sure. Well, Father, there's so many great things that all begin with you. You are the giver of all good gifts. You are the one who leads us and loves us and accepts us in the beloved. We just the way we are, and you meet us where we are. And so for those who are struggling right now, I pray that they would just reach out to you, no matter what their situation. Help them, Father, to come to you and just ask for your grace and your love to be poured out, that they can get through another day. Bless parents, bless grandparents, and I pray your blessing upon our pastors here at the door. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thanks for being with us.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
Thanks for tuning in to One Decent Pastor. If you'd like more information about the church, go to our website at thedoor3r.org.